Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome into another edition of the Future Sox Roundup. My name is Elijah Evans, joined by my co-host, as always, Dylan Barnes. We are back. We are not live today. This is the first time we haven't been live in a little while. Both of us doing some traveling this week, so we figured we would get an episode in as we record here on Sunday afternoon. This will come out tomorrow on Monday the 11th. But we just wanted to check in on some headlines around the organization, just kind of a little catch up on everything before we get into this busy week and then hopefully get back into a normal rhythm here soon. Dylan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. The White Sox have not been playing well recently, but you know, it's to be expected. You know, there was a little fun 2 weeks there after the All-Star break, but you know, I think we'll end up being somewhere in that middle ground. You know, you're not going to go 10-4 the entire rest of the season, but you're not going to lose six straight. So I think if you can just hover around 500, that's going to be fine for the rest of the season. And you know, with the losses of Chase Meidroth and Miguel Vargas to the IL, you're really seeing just how important those guys are to the lineup every single day. Because without those guys anchoring the top five, two of the top five spots in a lineup, we're seeing just how bleak it really is. So it's been rough recently.
Yeah, some ups and downs for sure, man. I think there's still some good signs built in there. Obviously, some guys that have been pretty good of late. But yeah, the lineup as a whole has been weaker. There's been some blow-up starts in the past, you know, week or two as well, which happens. You know, I think you're going to see that. You see Jonathan Canning's going to get a reset in AAA. I think that it was just – it hasn't really looked right since coming off the IL. He had one good start, and other than that, he just really hasn't looked like himself in the last couple of starts. So he's going to get a reset down there. We're going to probably see a couple bullpen days. They're doing a lot of swapping relievers in and out this morning. Who was it? Hudson goes down. Somebody else went down too. Wilkelming came up for a day and then goes back down. Yeah. And then Pagero comes up, which I'm actually excited to see what Pagero looks like. Waiver claim from the Brewers. Then Cam Boozer comes back up as well. It's going to be a lot of like bullpen shuffling, I have a feeling, just kind of limiting innings. You know, you've got Shane Smith getting limited innings at this point. It seems like kind of most of the starters are kind of on somewhat of a limited right now, just being young guys that haven't thrown this much in their careers. Then you got a bullpen where you're just kind of mixing and matching and shuffling and seeing what sticks and seeing who can kind of keep it going. That's fine. Like I'm okay with that. Yeah. I think there's a lot of guys that I don't mind getting innings. So the idea of like this bullpen just kind of being a jumble right now is perfectly fine with me, honestly. I'm just curious to see who kind of takes that opportunity and runs with it, because there's going to be a lot of competition for bullpen spots going into next year. And it's going to be, you know, this next 2 months is a good time for some of these guys to kind of establish themselves a little bit further and show that they kind of should be in that bullpen mix rather than on the outside looking in.
Yeah, you know, we saw guys like Gus Varland last year sort of put themselves on the map with a solid last 2 months. And, you know, unfortunately, Varland has dealt with injury and actually just got DFA'd and released earlier on this week. But, you know, if he hadn't been injured, I think he would have been in the mix for bullpen innings on the big league team this year.
Yeah,
sadly, it didn't go his way. But if there are guys this year who can carve out roles for themselves in the bullpen, you know, we're not asking guys to be the next Emmanuel Clase. Well, maybe not Emmanuel Clase with all the gambling stuff. But if they can just become quality relievers, like, you know, that's all we're asking for. We're not asking for, you know, 60 save seasons and the next Mariano Rivera, just like quality guys who can eat up innings and just continue to just churn innings. Cause at the end of the day, the White Sox rotation next year is going to be a lot of young guys. Like there might be another like Martin Perez signing where, you know, it's like
Martin Perez.
Yeah. It could just be Martin Perez. He's got an opt-in, but you know, there's going to be a lot of young guys. I would say at least four of the starters are going to be, guys with 2 years, sometimes less, of service time. So like you're gonna need those guys in the bullpen who can eat up innings every fifth day, especially when, you know, guys aren't going deep into games.
And as much as it's a non-glorious role, you're going to still need a couple guys you can shuttle back and forth from Charlotte that, that can be kind of veteran relievers that can bounce back and forth, whether they're younger guys or veteran guys that can plug some innings in Chicago, go back down to Charlotte, come up in Chicago for 2 weeks of a need and get some innings, or come up for one day and throw four innings out of the bullpen. Like, it's not a pretty situation, and I know guys don't love that, but like, you do need some of that when you're working with such a young pitching staff as we were talking about here. So we'll get into some of the stuff on the big league side. Then I want to talk Arizona Fall League. We got the full eight guys going to the White Sox Arizona Fall League earlier than usual, which is interesting. Yeah. But it was cool to see kind of that breakout this week. And then we'll talk a little bit about kind of the first 2 weeks here from the draft class, in addition to who we kind of see as the next call-ups the rest of the season as we near kind of less than 2 months left in the big league season now. On the MLB side, so you mentioned Vargas and Meidrath are out. The one thing I want to kind of touch on here, and I'm curious because I've seen various opinions online, what do you want or think the infield should be in the interim while those two guys are out? Because it sucks having them out. The lineup has struggled for sure, but it is an opportunity to get some guys at bats that haven't been getting as many at bats, and to just let guys, you know, see and show what they could and be going into next year, where you've got a fairly crowded infield.
In my opinion, I think it should be Curtis Meade at first base. You know, that's maybe not his best position, but with the Lenin Sosa experiment at first base, I don't really think you can stick him there anymore. You know, he's gotten a couple innings there, and sure, fine. But I think Meade at first base, Lenin Sosa at second, because he's been one of the White Sox best hitters in the past 2 months, which has been pretty fun to see. But then Colson Montgomery at short, and then rotating door at third, probably Josh Rojas. You know, I maybe like a Jacob Amaya every day or every couple days. Maybe.
What do you think about the Brooks thing, though? They've been playing Brooks at third a couple times. It's not his best position, but ultimately I'd rather have Brooks Baldwin in the lineup than just on the bench of a rotating guy. So I'm like, if that's the way to get him in the lineup, I'm fine with it. I think that So the way I look at it is like, yes, I agree on the Meade first, Sosa second, it's Colson third, or short, pardon me. If you play Baldwin, you could play Colson at third a little, have Baldwin at shortstop a couple days a week. That is an option there if you want to keep getting Colson reps at third, because it does seem like they are interested in getting Colson at least occasional reps at third, which is interesting. But like, I am kind of for it. I think generally it's – I'm not opposed to him continuing to get some reps at third. And then on the flip side of things, if your outfield is still going to be Benintendi, Robert, Tauchman, in order to get Teal and Caro in the game together, like we saw yesterday, DH and catching, I'm fine with Brooks then being at third, because at least you get him in the lineup. And he has actually been hitting pretty well lately.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of been like one of the surprising players of the last couple of weeks. You know, he's got, I think, three homers in his last 10-ish games. But yeah, you know, I had completely forgotten that they were trying out Baldwin at third. And, you know, if he can sort of carve out that utility role even more, just showing that he can play pretty much wherever he's needed, he can play on the outfield, he can play on the dirt, that's perfectly fine by me, because in my opinion, you know, we've said it all along, his best role is going to be that utility guy where, you know, he can play 8-9 positions and just put up a good at bat. You know, he's not going to be an 800, 850 OPS hitter, but you know, if he can string together some good at bats, hit a couple homers here and there, that's perfectly fine from a utility guy.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's the time with these injuries to get him in the lineup and get him some bats and just kind of give him a little bit more consistent run to see what you can get out of Baldwin. So I do think that that's the way to kind of handle this weird little interim period where you're missing two of your key players potentially. So we'll see how that shakes out. I think I like the idea of where it's at right now, and we'll see kind of how they chose to go with it and you know, to just take advantage of getting guys at bats while you can. Getting into the Arizona Fall League stuff, as we kind of talk through what we're looking like in the fall. And you know, I think there was some no-brainers on this list. I think that it was a somewhat of a given that you were going to see, you know, Hagen and Noah Schultz there, just because, you know, they you got to get those guys some innings one way or another. They haven't gotten to the innings you would have hoped they would have gotten to at this point. And I think that you're going to see a situation with them where you really want to continue to give them every opportunity to show that they can be on this 2026 roster and prove their, you know, their value and their spot on that team and kind of earn their stripes going into next year and a chance to make that, you know, whether it's opening day rotation, but to be in the rotation at some point next year, you got to see their innings get built up a little more and you got to see them have more success. So I think those are the two no-brainers. And then you get into the crop of Brayden Montgomery, Sam Antonacci, Ryan Galaney, Connor McCullough, Tyler Davis, and Carson Jacobs. Starting with Noah and Hagen, what is it that like you think we should be looking for out of those guys in the fall league? Because I'm hoping to get to the fall league for a couple days, which would be great in October. And in general, just for people that are kind of keeping an eye on it, and you know, people there'll be people reporting on it in person there one way or another. What do you want to see from those guys when they get to Arizona there in October?
For me, it's similar but also different in a way because, you know, both of those guys, they've had some control issues. We've seen the walks tick up at times for both of them. But, you know, some of that can be explained by, like, Noah Schultz has been dealing with a knee injury. Hagen Smith, you know, was on the DEV list for, I don't know how long, like a month-ish. But, like, just continue to throw strikes. Like, you know, we've seen Hagen Smith walk four batters in a row his last outing. But if they can just dial in the control and say, all right, you know, I'm better than you. Here's my best pitch. You're not going to hit it. That's exactly what I want to see, because both of those guys, when they're on, it's two of the best left-handed pitching prospects in the sport. And, you know, it's been an up and down season for both of them. But, you know, we've seen the flashes, especially from Schultz this year, where, you know, he's looking like that top of the rotation guy who's pumping 98 in the sixth, seventh inning. So, you know, that throwing strikes is also one of the things, and just maintaining the velocity. You know, Hagen Smith is still sitting 92 to 94 in August, which is not great, but you know, maybe he's just still working through some mechanical stuff and he goes to Arizona and he can work some things out there. So if he can just tick back up, like, I'm not asking him to sit like 98. I'm just asking to see some sort of velocity improvement where, you know, he can touch 96, 97, maybe even a 98. And then with Schultz, it's pretty much the same thing. Like, throw strikes and throw hard. Like, he's like less of a worry in velocity, in my opinion, just because, like, I've seen him throw 98 on like his third to last pitch of the game. I think it was like pitch 85, 88, something like that. So I'm not worried about velocity with Noah. But the thing is also, like, I want to see him reintroduce that cutter because it got scrapped in, I want to say it was like June, July. And then, you know, his walks ticked up and it's a high zone percentage pitch. So, you know, he's not getting a lot of those strikes anymore. But the reason why he scrapped it is because he was putting pressure on the wrong finger when he was releasing it. And it was messing up his pronation on his sinker. So like on a cutter, you got to get around the ball. On the sinker, you got to get on the inside of the ball. So it was hurting him getting on the inside of the ball on his sinker, and he was losing some of that movement. So that it's a good move, and you know, hopefully he can reintroduce that. But the two things that I'm looking for are velocity and strikes. You know, that's every pitcher nowadays, you're looking for two things: velocity and strikes.
Yeah, some great insight there from you. We were talking about this a little yesterday, just, you know, off talking and thinking through kind of what's been going on with Schultz, and you pointed that out. You had heard some of that stuff there. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic, and it's something that I think, you know, the general public, when you look at Schultz numbers, you're probably like, oh, he's pitching bad. But like, these are the things you want to attack and you want to deal with, these, you know, concrete kind of just pitch development, pitch arsenal things, that the way that is, you know, it's affecting other pitches. Like, that's not something we think about off the dome, and I don't think most fans think about, but like, there is underlying reasons for some of the struggles that he's had, and just kind of the figuring out of who he is as a pitcher. And you'd rather deal with that now than you would. And, you know, you'd rather deal with that also with the big league ball. I think part of that is like, I think part of the AAA move was figuring out how we can kind of figure out the movement and the feel for the big league ball with those pitches, with already having, you know, a pressure difference that he needed to adjust there. Doing that with the big league ball will set him up for going into Arizona and going into next year, having that some layer of comfort with that ball. So we've heard that Schultz is probably going to return to Charlotte here towards the end of the month. If he can get 3-4 more starts under his belt here in Charlotte, and then he can get 3-4 starts under his belt in Arizona, another 8 starts this year would be huge for him going into next season. At that point, he'd have hopefully, you know, 100 innings or so, where you can then build off that and be ready for a starter's workload next year. So I think for him, it just is one it's more of just getting those innings, getting that feel for Hagen. The command's got to be better, man. Like I was looking at it earlier, you know, it just, 13 strikeouts per nine is sweet, right? He's still getting a ton of strikeouts because he can be that good, but he hasn't been that good. The ERA looks okay. Sure. The FIP looks okay, right? Because the strikeouts are great, but the walk rate is way too high and the stuff is down and the stuff is not getting hit hard because he's not, he's still kind of around the zone. So he's not really getting beat up on it. It's more just like the command leads to walks and the stuff decrease is kind of almost negated by the fact that it's not that hittable because it's not really in the zone often. So it, with him, it's just like, I just want to see more strikes. And you said that already, but I think that's where we're at with those guys. Going on to the three hitters, it's a fun trio, man. That's a really fun trio heading on the hitting side to Arizona Fall League. And Brayden Montgomery, Sam Antonacci, and Ryan Galaney. And these are the guys that have been largely healthy. So, you know, with pitching, you usually see the Fall League heavily on guys that need innings and just haven't pitched all season or either or had surgery or just, you know, haven't had as many innings like these two, right? With the hitting side, it's like, okay, let's see how these guys do against the better of better pitchers and, you know, high-end pitching prospects and then more advanced pitching prospects. And these are the three guys that I think are no-brainers and I think make a ton of sense to see that higher level. Brayden Montgomery being a guy that we've talked about plenty. Like when that trade was struck for Garrett Crochet, like Brayden Montgomery, the goal is to have him in your 2026 lineup. It doesn't need to be opening day, but by the end of 26, Brayden Montgomery should be the starting right fielder in Chicago. And I think that is very clearly the aim here. And with him going to the Fall League, like, that's the plan. I think that's very clearly the plan here. And then with Antonacci and Galaney, these are two guys that they've gotten some serious value on draft-wise. When you look at their draft stock and then just what they've done in their minor league career so far, I think both these guys are on pace to debut next year. I think, you know, we've talked about Antonacci and Galaney plenty on this show, and like, Antonacci's doing everything he needs to do in AA since getting there to continue to show that it hasn't been a fluke so far in Kannapolis and then in Winston, and like that he is a very well-rounded, you know, high-end contact hitter who could be a versatile infielder for the White Sox. And then Galaney, you know, is someone who's a late round pick, kind of more of this corner bat with power archetype, run driver, producer. But he doesn't strike out a ton. He's been taking pretty good at bats. He had a little bit of a down spell in Birmingham and has picked it up again of late, right? Like, it seems like every level he's been at now, three levels, like, he starts a little slow, he gets going, and then he gets on a roll, and it's just like, okay, this guy looks like he can handle the level. And now if he's handling AA the way he's handling the rest of this season, and he comes into Arizona and he has a good Fall League, I don't see any reason why Galaney couldn't push for some time at first base, you know, mid to late next season.
Yeah, 100%, especially because, you know, that jump from high A to double A is largely considered to be one of the hardest jumps outside of triple A to Charlotte or triple A to the big leagues, because like the quality of pitching that you get to in double A is just so much more advanced than in the lower minors. And, you know, we've seen guys like you said it with Galaney, where, you know, they struggle initially coming up to Birmingham and then they adjust and now they're turning it back on. But the thing that I'm most impressed with is Sam Antonacci just hasn't struggled like at seemingly any point in the season. And especially now that he's in Birmingham, it just looks like he's the best player on the field, like at all times. Like I don't have his AA stats in front of me right now, but he's got to be batting over 300, if not close to 350.
After a rough quote unquote weekend, it's 299 in Birmingham.
Oh, so. God, he's it just write him off completely.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, yeah, those three are the three of the top five bats in that Birmingham lineup, and you know they're going to be pushing for another Southern League title this year. And
did you look at the Southern League standings, by the way, recently for the second half?
I've not.
They're like, they're gonna like clinch the Southern League second half in like a week, and it's still a month till the playoffs. It's silly. They're just going. I mean, Birmingham's been awesome. They almost won the first half title too. So if you look at overall standings, it's like, wow, they're just the best team in AA, honestly. One of the best teams in AA.
Saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Gosh. Yeah, Birmingham is
a 9-game lead. And it's
been like a month. Yeah,
it's been 38 games.
Yeah. It's silly. That team is on a heater of all heaters, and that was cool getting to talk to. I talked to Shane Murphy earlier this week, which everybody should definitely check out that interview. Shane Murphy has been incredible in Birmingham. One of my favorite pitching interviews I've done in a while. Super, super honest and open about the way he pitches, who he is as a pitcher. But that team in general, he was just saying the vibes are just great. It makes it easy to want to go and just win a game because that team is just, everybody there is just competing, and there's just a lot of talent to the point where they're just going out there and putting up games and winning games and just competitively going at it every single day in Birmingham lately, which is awesome to see. But I do think all three of those guys, should, but also will debut next year. I don't see why that's crazy to say. I think that, the fit is tricky, fitting in all these infielders. So Delaney and Antonacci particularly, it's going to be a little tricky to find the innings for them every day, but whatever it looks like in their role. But I do think they're all going to have a shot to debut next year. And I think, Braden Montgomery, it's pretty simple in the aspect of if you come midseason, you trade Benintendi or Tauchman or both, and Braden Montgomery is in your starting outfield. And I don't think that timeline is unrealistic for him, given where he's at right now. Still some things to work on for sure, but a good Arizona Fall League, a nice start to the season next year, whether it's in Birmingham or Charlotte, and you're looking at a midseason call-up for him and probably these other guys as well. The other names to mention briefly from Arizona, Connor McCullough actually had a pretty good 2023 season. Had TJ comes off now. Now he's just getting back in the groove. This is just him getting some innings. Tyler Davis, Carson Jacobs, two relievers. Davis has been really good in Birmingham this year. Was an indie ball guy signed last year. So someone who, has had a good season, but also 26 years old. So I think this is kind of here's your push. If you can show that you can handle it in AFL, then you're going to compete to make a bullpen spot potentially sometime next year. Carson Jacobs was a non-drafted guy in 2023. Stuff is great. Strikeouts are great. Walks a ton of people in high A this season. So I think for him, it's just a test of kind of how his stuff can play up at the next level if he can kind of hone in on that command a little bit. So not a ton of to note there from those three, but I think it'll be, three guys that'll supplement those high end five going to the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, reliever depth in the system is always needed. We've seen the like we said before, the shuffling of cast members in the big league in AAA or in the AAA bullpen. So, if they can just continue to fight their way up there, we might see one of those three guys in the mix for a big league spot next year, especially if they perform well in the AFL. We've seen guys like Peyton Paulette last year go to the AFL as a reliever and, he was already putting his name on the map as a reliever before, but now he's in AAA. He could get called up in the coming months here, but if any of those three guys want to push for a big league spot next year, this is the time to do it, because this is going to be some of the best competition that they're going to be facing. So
yeah, no, 100%. I think it's going to be a cool experience for all those guys at that next level. Let's check in on the draft class quickly. And this is kind of just a run through the system just because we're doing this pre-recorded and just checking in on everybody. Draft class guys, a couple started. I actually, less guys than I expected probably, but it makes sense. The four college hitters that started their professional careers, everybody else in the complex league. Starting at the highest level, then we'll work our way down. And here, obviously we don't have video and exact details on the Bridge League, but we have heard some really good things about the guys down in Arizona playing games. In Winston-Salem, Kyle Lodice is the one guy that goes all the way to Winston to start his professional career. Lodice in his first four professional games, 3-for-15, stolen base, 3 strikeouts. Obviously, small sample, just a couple games. But Lodice, is playing shortstop. So that's, I think, one thing to note there is that he is going to be the shortstop there in Winston. I think that he will probably spend – with Lodice, from talking to him and kind of gauging where he's at and where the organization's at, I think he's a shortstop till at least Charlotte. I think that's kind of how it's looked at, is he's going to be the Winston shortstop most of next season. When he gets to Birmingham, he'll be the shortstop in Birmingham. I think that he honestly probably profiles better at shortstop than Bregoia does, or than, Joral Perez for sure, right? Some of these other guys there. So I think Lodice will be a shortstop till at least Charlotte, and then we'll see from there where everybody's looking, with the Mydroth, with Colson, with Jacob Gonzalez, with all of the whoever is going to play shortstops. But I do think he'll be a shortstop for at least high A and double A, 4 games under his belt now at the high A level.
Yeah, he was the sort of the main guy that we were targeting going straight to Winston because, advanced college hitter has 4 years of college experience. Or was it four?
He played D2, so he's only, 3 years of college, but only one at D1 level. But again, still an ACC high-end guy this past season.
Yeah, I don't want to say the jump to high isn't going to be much for him, but, it's I don't want to say it's comparable pitching because, it's not – comparing college baseball to pro ball is just it's tough. So it's different, but he could have gone to tie right away and held his own. And, you know, it's only been four games, and but 3 for 15, you know, we'll take that. And I'm not looking for stats, especially from the draft guys this year, because, you know, judging guys off of their first 2 months in professional baseball after they've already been playing since February, like, this is going to be the longest season of their lives. Right. And, you know, it's just not really fair to judge them based on a season that will never be this long ever again. And two, they're adjusting to an entirely different, like, atmosphere, like wood bats, right, all that. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you. I think for him, it's just good to see him get out there, get some games under his belt, and see how it looks. In Kannapolis, three guys have made their professional debuts, that being, what was it, sixth-rounder Colby Shelton, who's 1 for 15 in his first four games, and then seventh-rounder Anthony DiPino, who is 5 for 18 out of the gate in his first five professional games, and then 12th-rounder Ellie Brown, who is 2 for 10 in his first four professional games. So just a small sample, obviously only 1 week of games under their belt at this point. They've got one more game today in Kannapolis. And then you head down, day off tomorrow, head into their second week. Cool to see all these guys though. College guys, you know, some pretty good experience there between these three, of course. And just a little spark into that Kannapolis lineup, obviously a lineup that added some other guys from the complex recently. So, you know, four or five new guys in that lineup now, after all these new additions.
Yeah, it's similar to what we said with Lodice. You know, those are the three oldest college bats, so, you know, it makes no sense.
Bryce Eblin as well, I should mention. Undrafted Bryce Eblin. He was the first undrafted guy sign-in who had 5 years of college experience. So he's 1 for 9 in his first three games there.
But yeah, you know, it's the older college guys who, you know, they don't get much playing in the Bridge League in Arizona like some of the high school guys will. So, you know, it's just nice to see the new faces getting in.
I thought this, but I was, because I remember hearing the name Bryce Eblin. I thought he was the last year UDFA. So he was a 2024, because I remember this name too closely for it to be somebody that just got signed. He was a 2024 UDFA, pardon me on that one. Didn't play at all last season, and then this season played a handful of complex games before now heading to Kannapolis. Gotcha.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Last year college guy out of Alabama. Yeah, I remembered the name, and I was like, I've known that name for longer than two.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what's going on there. And then down at the complex, you've got Bridge League going on, which is kind of this unofficial league with draft picks often. But it sounds like everything we've heard from, you know, shout out to Jesus Cano, who's covering the Arizona League there for Baseball America, doing a really good job there. I know he's going to be on the pod with James and Ian here soon. He, you know, was pointing out just how deep and how talented the lineup is there. You've obviously got Billy Carlson and Jaden Fowski leading it off. You've got some other, you know, international guys mixed in there. You've got, you know, just a really good range and a fun group of guys playing there in Arizona right now. And I think it's going to be cool to see how they're going. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty clearly that that both Fowski and Carlson will not debut this year in Kannapolis, which we pretty much knew, but that was essentially confirmed this week. And then a lot of these other guys are just getting after it at the complex right now.
Yeah, you know, it is essentially what we'd expected. You know, the older college guys go straight up to an affiliate, and then the high school guys who just want to keep playing and, you know, work on specific things, they're going to go to Arizona. They're going to play on the backfields. And, you know, this is the time where teams, or especially the White Sox, can see, you know, we've seen Carlson like sending videos to Mike Shirley. Like, he's talked about that, like how he's sending videos to Mike Shirley of his swing at 2 a.m. But, you know, this is the time where they can make adjustments, and the White Sox can see, you know, all right, how are these adjustments working out? Is it going to play at the next level? And that's all we can ask for, because, you know, their first offseason in a big league camp, or not a big league camp, but like in a Major League Baseball organization, you know, that's, it's an important one, because, you know, this is where you take that next step and start the journey on becoming a big leaguer. So I think that both of Carlson and Fowski debut in Kannapolis early on next year. I'm not sure if they go like the George Walkow route where, you know, they spend like 2-3 weeks in Arizona and then go up. But what do you see as the timeline for both of them next year?
Yeah, I think that it's probably similar where they open the year. I don't know, man, because Bonnemer, I mean, forced the agenda this spring and then goes straight there. So I think that there's still a little bit of work to be done with Carlson's swing from some of the videos I've been seeing. So I do think with a little bit of swing reworking, there's a chance he starts in Arizona still and heads to Kannapolis in May. At the same time, man, if these guys come in and look really good out of the spring and out of the gate, like I wouldn't be shocked to see either or both of them start straight up in Kannapolis. I think Landon Hodge will take a little bit longer probably, but I do think both Fauske and Carlson will be there sooner than later next season, even if it's not right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think both of them could push for right out of the gate, especially if they have, you know, a good winter and, you know, the organization sees things that they wanted to see. But I do think that both of them at least open the year in Arizona, and then they'll at the very least finish the year in Kannapolis, because, you know, it like I said, it's similar to the older college guys where this is the longest season they're going to play in their lives. And the first professional season for the high school guys, especially guys like Jaden Fauske coming out of a cold weather state like Illinois, where you're not playing until March, you know, playing from February to September, that's a grind. And, you know, I've said it for Caleb Bonnemer, like this is a grind. Like playing 140 games in a year is very different from playing 45, 50 in high school.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch, but I'm excited to see how those guys kind of acclimate to their professional careers. As we wrap here, just getting our brief updates in today, looking at the big league roster, we talked about how the bullpen's been shuffling back and forth a little. Now you've got a potential rotation spot open if they do choose to keep Cannon down in Charlotte for longer than one start, potentially. However that shakes out, there's definitely, and then you've got the injuries on the offensive side, right? Who do you see as some of the next call-ups here for the White Sox? Because we're, you know, a month and a half out from the season being over at this point. You're 3 weeks out from September call-ups when you go from 26-man roster to a 28-man roster. So you're going to have two added spots here in 3 weeks. But before then, and even once that happens then, who are some of the guys that you kind of are targeting as guys that should get the call in the near future and be able to get some innings down the stretch here?
One of the names is a new name. I've got two that I could see. One of them is Ben Peoples, you know, acquired a couple weeks ago in the Adrian Hauser trade. He's been really good in AAA. You know, he had a rough first outing, but, you know, his stuff is just very good. And I could easily see the organization being like, all right, you know, you have big league stuff. Let's see it at the big league level. And then my sneaky name, you know, we've sort of theorized this, I genuinely think Tanner McDougal might be on his way to a big league call up in the next 3 weeks. So I think those two are the two names. It would not shock me if Peyton Paulette, Zach Franklin gets a call too. So I would say any of those four guys could be the next guy up, and it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I think all those arms are good ideas for sure. I think that McDougal, I think, is going to debut this season. I think it'll be out of the bullpen. It'll be very limited innings just because he's already kind of almost at his innings limit. But I do think McDougal will debut because he's going to have to go on the 40-man in the offseason anyways. So why not get him on there? There's plenty of vets you can bump off the 40-man at this point. Get him onto the 40-man and get him up in the bigs just for a cup of tea out of the bullpen. I'm down for Peoples. I think Paulette also has kind of earned it at this point. I think Paulette's a guy who just, you know, his last eight outings, it's two runs allowed across 10 innings, 12 strikeouts. Like it's been consistently good for him, even adjusting to Charlotte with a couple ups and downs. Like I do think he's earned the right to get a spot in the bigs this year. If it's not this year, then I think Paulette is going to have a chance to break camp. And I think he has a really good chance he can as a reliever, because him as a reliever has been an entirely different pitcher than you know, him starting in his first professional season. Right. So that's been great. I think Yoendris Gomez is another one who I mentioned recently on the pod that I actually would like to see. What?
Didn't he debut already?
He did debut. But Paul, in terms of getting called up, I think he should. He has debuted. But I do think he get a real shot to get a call up. If you want to replace Cannon with an actual starter, like Gomez has been making starts. He's been making starts, and they've been pretty good. You know, his last five outings, it's 21 innings of four runs allowed in 21 innings, 1.70 ERA, 31 strikeouts across those 21 innings. Like I'm all for a guy who still is pretty young and really hasn't gotten extended run at the big league level to just see what it looks like for him. And then on the hitting side, I would like to see some Brian Ramos, man, before the end of the season. I think it probably won't be till September call-ups. I think that's realistically a guy who you can add as kind of your extra hitter instead of replacing a hitter. It's tricky. Well, once Vargas and Medmyroth potentially get back, like how do you even find innings for Ramos? But like, even if it's a couple days off the bench, I do think that Ramos has found his groove again in Charlotte more. And I still a guy I believe in to be, you know, to show that he could be a weak side platoon MLB piece, right? Like I think there's a world there where he can be. So I would like to see him. And then on the other side, I mean, I think I mean, I wish they had moved, Michael A. Taylor or somebody in that outfield, because I do think Will Robertson is worth a look at some point. Right. I don't know how he gets innings this year, though. I think unless you're going to DFA someone, which I don't think you're gonna, you've got Benny, you've got Robert, you've got Tauchman, you've got Taylor, and you still have Brooks able to play some outfield. Corey Yulks is on the roster right now. Like, even if you bump a Corey Yulks, like, yeah, you can bring Robertson up. Like, how many innings is that going to give Robertson? Like, pretty minimal. But I'd be interested to see either what Ramos or Robertson look like at the big league level.
Yeah, you know, those are two guys where, you know, we've seen them at the big league level, and, you know, it was up and down for Ramos, especially just because, like, he's that streaky hitter by nature. And with Robertson, you know, he's an older guy, has tore up AAA. He has nothing left to prove down there. So if they want to give him a shot at the big league level for an extended period of time, like, I'm not saying that, like, an injury is going to happen, but, like, let's say that, you know, Benintendi or Tauchman goes down, because Tauchman especially is looking like he's on his last leg out there in the outfield. But, you know, if an injury happens, or just in that 28-man roster, I would be more than fine with giving some of those older AAA guys a shot to see what they have at the big league level. So,
yeah. Yeah, 100%. I'm all for it. That's all we got today. We're going to get into a rhythm. I need to figure out, I did not realize this for everyone that listens to our live shows, it's going to be the middle of the night for me when we usually record on Mondays for the next month. I'm going to be in Europe, so I need to figure out what we're going to do for live shows or different time or pre-recorded. We will figure that out. Either way, we'll be getting you episodes. I can promise you that. There's a lot to talk about, but I'm not sure I'm in the realm to be recording at 3 a.m. And I think that might be a little bit of a stretch for me. But we'll see. Maybe I will one day. But, you know, we got tons of content coming, plenty of good stuff coming over here. Just a reminder, as of last week, we are now part of the Just Baseball Network. Super cool. We're gonna have some good things in the work here, some new graphics, potentially some cool stuff for social media as well, just to kind of keep some content flowing your way, make sure we're engaging beyond the podcast side of things. But yeah, we appreciate everyone for following along. We're gonna have definitely down the stretch here some minor league content for the next month and a half until minor league season ends, and then hopefully some Arizona Fall League content. I'm thinking I'm gonna be able to get out there for a little bit, so that should be cool. And then yeah, make sure you're just keeping up to date with everything at Future Sox. All of our content will be there. You can find Dylan at NotCease on X, and you can find me at ElijahEV8. And we will talk to you next time on the Roundup. Thanks, Dylan.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.